Welcome to Minneapolis. The skies are turning clear. The April showers will bring May flowers. There are jobs aplenty and land is cheap. And who knows? Maybe you'll even be able to make your dream project. Make a movie, become famous. Yes, sir, life in Minneapolis is pretty good. At least, that's what they want you to believe. But if you're not careful, paradise could swallow you up. And as I know more, you'll know more, dear viewer. Off the record, on the QT, and very hush hush. I'm a big believer in having multiple projects, run at the same time. In this current season of my life, I have three very big projects running. The first is running a sub 330 marathon in Duluth, Minnesota. Compared to the fitness influencers of the world, I'm a skinny little bitch. But to compare to a runner, like, look at that arm. The second is hitting a certain revenue goal in my company. And the last of these three is the one that this vlog is all about, which is making a movie.
A solo moment.
If you can pull it off, taking on multiple pursuits and hobbies, whether it be boxing, powerlifting, writing a novel, or learning to code, can be very beneficial because it increases your chances of meeting the right people and making a quantum leap in your career.
I'm gay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, all right.
I think that's even better.
Okay.
And that's what this video is all about, managing multiple projects.
Maybe you'll even make your dream movie. You'll become famous.
In the book Poor Charlie's Almanac, author Charlie Munger comes up with this concept known as the Lollapalooza effect. The Lollapalooza effect talks about how multiple cognitive biases can stack on top of each other to have a boosted cognitive bias effect. But this idea can similarly be applied to learning new skills. If you can successfully stack multiple skills or multiple projects, you will get a super dosed result. Many successful people, they are decently good at multiple different terrains rather than exclusively good at one. Now, if you can become world class, it makes sense to take one thing all the way down the line. But many of us, despite not being the best or not being world class, what we can get to is like a 6 to 8 out of 10 at multiple different things. And I found that the results that you get as a normal person, as a non-elite, non-world class person, become substantially better when you become 7 out of 10 at lots of different things. So it's worthwhile to have multiple projects running.
And this was supposed to be a double, this was supposed to be a speed session. You know, 400 or 800 mile repeats, but the truth is, like, I have to be smart. I feel like if I do this today and if I push it, then I might injure myself, I might get sick. Sometimes you gotta slow down to speed up. Mm. That's what this one is all about.
If you can successfully manage multiple interests or multiple projects, or make multiple terrains of your life work at the same time, maybe it's raising a family, staying fit, and making your company grow, then it's an excellent safeguard against feeling too stagnant. If there's ever a bottleneck or a plateau in one of your projects, you can always turn to the other projects to find your breakthrough. And I found that if you can break through in one terrain, oftentimes it has cascading second order effects on the other goals you're pursuing. I am here at the Minneapolis International Film Festival opening night party. I met one guy who did a very, very good Irish accent, which would be perfect for River Rats. One of the questions I asked the crew was what their thoughts were on the Lollapalooza effect.
Some people are extraordinary with their authenticity, the way they're able to express things. So I would say, like, somebody's communication skills might be an 11. Their voice might be a 7. There's got to be something that makes you extraordinary. If it's not your acting, if it's not your music, it's got to be how you communicate.
Pick your projects based on luck surface area. The surface area of luck, or your chance of being lucky, is equivalent to the action you take towards your passion multiplied by the number of people you effectively communicate your passion and activities to.
I don't consider myself particularly a socialite, but I'm doing what it takes to get this movie made. And part of that job is putting myself out there.
Passionate doing times effective telling. So for me, one of my big surface areas of luck, which is to say a terrain of life in which I have a good chance of being successful, is deadlifting and running. Here's the thing, most of the time in these videos, you don't see my full physique. 70% of me is legs. When seated, I don't seem very tall. And then when I stand up, everything just shoots up. So I've got these long legs. It makes me a naturally fast runner and a naturally good deadlifter. So in the physical plane, I'm working towards running eventually a sub-3-hour marathon, which would put me in like the top 1 or 2% of marathon athletes, and working up to a 500-pound deadlift, you know, just to be a fast, thick boy, you know? Some people are fast, other people are thick. I want to be both, and I see nothing wrong with that. I have a high surface area of luck around those endeavors because of these long freaking legs, bro. In the past, I would read books by people such as Brian Tracy, God bless his soul. In his books, Maximum Achievement or The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz, these over-the-top self-improvement authors would often give this thought exercise, what would you pursue if you knew you could not fail? And I think after 11 years of pondering such a question and then taking my actions based off that target, I realized it's actually not useful advice for most people, because if the goal is lofty enough, you will fail at it. What would you pursue if you knew you could not fail is not a useful question. A better question would be, what would be meaningful that you feel pretty confident you could achieve if you demonstrated sufficient determination? Tina Selig, Stanford professor, has been studying entrepreneurs and luck for some time. Her reframing of how to view luck aligns well with this model. Selig explains, luck is rarely a lightning strike, isolated and dramatic. It's much more like the wind blowing constantly. Sometimes it's calm, and sometimes it just blows in gusts. Sometimes it comes from directions you didn't even imagine. The truth is, different terrains of life, they are more interconnected and interdisciplinarily connected than one might originally assume. So if you have three big goals, one of them is to become a software engineer and get your first like high-paying job as a software engineer. One of them is to learn like the sick guitar solo from Stairway to Heaven. And the third one might be to write a novel. If you feel that the goal that you're most readily able to accomplish is actually the guitar solo, even if the goal that would make the biggest difference in your life is learning to code and getting the software engineering job, if you really feel that learning Stairway to Heaven is more attainable for you, then I genuinely feel that that is the first target you should set. That should be your first goal. And then, of course, you should still be applying to jobs, but chase that guitar solo first. Because the truth is, if you learn the guitar solo and you share you successfully playing it on social media, or do you do like a live performance at a small venue, a coffee shop, chances are some software engineer is going to see that performance and they're gonna wanna connect with you, and you're just gonna get more fortuitous circumstances come into your life that will help you get that software engineering job. Everything's connected. And me running this sub-330 marathon is going to make me a better filmmaker. It's going to make me a better actor. It's all happening and it's all connected. Your goals must show up on your calendar and they must always be scheduled. Seriously, you're only as good as the things you put on your calendar and your ability to execute on those things.
I actually practice what I preach. This is my calendar for the week.
Now we're transitioning from the cell phone shot here
to the camera. There is something I need to tell you, something that's been on my heart and in my mind for a long time, and I just never got around to telling you, but the truth is I run a YouTube coaching. YouTube is uniquely demanding, from titling, scripting, delivering a video to camera, using multiple content phrases to make your video more interesting. YouTube is very demanding, and yet the potency of building a personal brand cannot be denied. So if you're curious about what working with me might look like, the first link in the description box below has a questionnaire that you can fill out, and we can get on a conversation to see if you're a good fit for the program. But with that being said, let's get on with the rest of the video.
Now, what I'm coming to realize is that 80% of the success in making a movie is actually pre-production. Now, luckily, over the last 5 years, and especially in the last year of content creation, I have learned pre-production at a pretty high level, and I'm able to stretch my dollar much further because of my pre-production skills. So for this week, I got on my usual call with Brian, my screenwriter, to figure out the direction of the movie. But very soon here, we'll be looking to lock down our first set piece.
Because we haven't decided how that's gonna work yet.
For running, the key item I need to execute is just that day's run.
It is currently 10:01 p.m. on a Saturday night, and I'll have to get up pretty early here because in the morning, I'm doing what's called a tune-up race. Running and running race events teaches you intentionality. You're going to get your best results when you don't wing it, when you've done some amount of preparation. Preparation in laying out your clothes, preparation in knowing what your fueling strategy is, how you're gonna get down to the event, what paces you're planning on running each mile. All of these little details, they matter. And the truth is, if you pay attention to those details throughout the course of your life and with the various projects you pursue, the results you will start to get are spectacular. So let me break down how I'm pursuing tomorrow's event. I'm going to wake up at 5:30 a.m. The first thing I'm going to do is chug a bunch of water with electrolytes and eat about 150, 200 grams of a sweet potato. That's my favorite carb source. Then I will have one scoop of G1M Sport and some water. That's a lot of carbs first thing in the morning. I'm also not a sponsored athlete for BPN, at least not yet, but it is the supplement that I like to use. I'll Uber to the race event and get there around 7 a.m. There, I'll have a mix ready of 2 Before Black Currant. My friend Jeremy Miller really has been recommending this product all over his Instagram, so I got some for myself. It's basically like a beet juice-esque pre-workout with some caffeine in there. And then I'll also probably have some Goo energy chews. This is probably overkill for a 10-mile race because I do 10-milers all the time, but I usually never run them this fast, and tomorrow it's going to be very cold and rainy, so I want to be sufficiently carved up. And then 5 miles into the race, I'll be trying this, a spring energy gel, which is just 100 calories and some carbohydrates mid-race to fuel me further. Anyway, let's do this thing.
And that's essentially how you pursue multiple projects. By invoking the Lollapalooza effect, increasing your luck surface area, and putting items on your calendar and doing those items with intention. Greatness is coming. Onwards.